The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there's something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're now 1 week into the holy season of Lent. It's a good time for us to take a little bit of a checkup. The whole point of Lent is massive conversion on our part. Pope Emeritus Benedict used to say that Lent isn't about a slight course correction in our life, but about a major conversion. And that's why today the Church gives us the reading of the prophet Jonah, as well as Jesus' fulfillment of that prophecy in the Gospel. Jonah went to the huge pagan city of Nineveh. It wasn't a Jewish city where they had had the revelation, thoroughly pagan, with the word 40 significant of what would come later, of course, with our Lent. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Even though it took 3 days to get through that city, and even though the next day he should have been saying 39 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, and the third day 38 days, and maybe crisscross to the other sides, because let's be honest, enormous. He didn't have to get to 39. He didn't have to get to 38. As soon as they heard this man proclaiming that gospel, that there was a need for conversion, and we'll see what happens if you convert, they all converted. Even the king divested himself of everything regal, made a proclamation that everyone, even down to the pets, would convert. Now, was it that every single person of Nineveh was a wicked sinner? No. Nineveh was probably like any old city, probably worse than most cities. But as in any city, there are going to be some good people and there are going to be some wicked people who are acting in terrible ways. But every single one, down to the pets, obviously the pets were innocent, converted. Because there wasn't just an individual need for conversion. There was a communal, reparative need for conversion. All of them were part of that culture. And they got the message and they converted. Today, Jesus in the Gospel says to us, there is a greater than Jonah here. If Nineveh converted like that at the word of Jonah, how much more should Fall River convert at the preaching of Jesus? But have we been converting like we see those in Nineveh? Or do we think a little softy, hey, I'm 60, so I don't have to fast anymore, according to church regulations? Or maybe I'll add a few seconds to my prayer life each day. Or maybe I'll give a little bit more. That's not what Jesus is asking for. Jesus is asking for radical conversion on our part. Why? Because the point of Lent is for us to become like God. The point of Lent is for us to fast so that we'll hunger for what God hungers for, so that we'll recognize everything we've been given has been given out of God's providence. Perhaps we own it, but it's not supposed to be for our exclusive use. It's supposed to be for doing His will. And there are people who might need it more than we do. And in Lent, we recalibrate ourselves to look at the world with God's providential eye, to see where we can share what He's given us with others. Likewise, it's a time for us really to become men and women whose lives totally exude prayer, when we become existences who pray, and not just make a holy hour, not just come to Mass, all of which is good, not just to pray the rosary on our own, but to try to convert our entire life into an offering to God. That's what prayer is supposed to bring about. Jesus has come as a greater than the sign of Jonah. And if the people of Nineveh converted at Jonah's preaching, how much more imperative it is for us. Now again, it's not that we're all wicked, but there's a reparative dimension to our conversion. Where are we going as a culture? We don't have to pretend as if there's nothing good in our culture. There's a lot that's good. But what's the general direction? Where's our culture going? Our culture's going to make sodomy the eighth sacrament. To try to totally change marriage so that it no longer even involves a husband or a wife. So that families don't even say in public documents, mom or dad. Is this something that's heading in the direction of the Lord or heading away? Is it something for which we need to celebrate or something for which we need to convert? We've got a government that's trying to take the money of nuns to pay for abortion. Is this something heading in the direction that God wants or not? We've got a culture in which so many are spending so much time watching filth, porn, which there are so many victims. Is this heading in God's direction or away? We've got a culture in which there's so much hardness of heart, where we don't see each other as brothers and sisters. And when immigrants come in just looking for a better life to be able to support their families who are starving to death in certain Central American countries, we've got people who turn their back and say, get out of my country, you're not coming in and taking my job. Well, sorry, buddy, you weren't looking for the job at minimum wage. You want to stick on welfare and make $50,400 a year on public assistance in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Hardness of heart, is that going in God's direction or away from God? We can multiply the examples. It's a culture we need to convert. It's a culture for those who don't convert, the others who care convert for them. That's the whole notion of reparation, where we turn to the Lord and on behalf of everyone we say, spare us, O Lord. And we need to get better at reparation. Now, it's kind of interesting. What happens whenever we see a scandal, whenever we see a tragedy, whenever we see another mass murder? What's our first reaction there? Most of our first reactions are, what a terrible thing has happened. I mean, it hits us in the gut. Not a bad first reaction. But the type of first reaction we should always have is we should go to the Lord. Lord, I'm so sorry that one of those consecrated to you fell so far, that this Christian was able to do something that bad. So sorry, Lord. Spare us, O Lord. When we see another crime, we go to the Lord first. We console Him. That's reparation. We begin to start to see things from God's perspective. And if others aren't going to be saying sorry to the Lord, we at least go and say sorry. Sorry, Lord, that today over 10,000 babies are going to be murdered in our country through the Holocaust of abortion. Lord, how can we ever stop saying sorry? You are the parent of every single one of those children. And any time a parent loses a child, it's tragic. Imagine if a parent were to lose 5 children all in a given day, what that parent would be like. And yet, 10,000 a day through abortion, not to mention the other types of murders that take place in our country. You made marriage, Lord, to help us to enter into your divine likeness. Male and female, you created them. And yet, we think arrogantly we can just tinker with what you have made and separate what you have joined. Sorry, Lord. So sorry, Lord. You have made everyone who comes to our shores our brothers and sisters. So often we treat them as aliens, as if they're basically from another planet. Sorry, Lord. That's what reparation is. And we might not be personally, by His grace, that far from Him in our own actions. But Lent isn't just about our individual conversion. Lent is also about a communal reparation. And that's one of the reasons why we need to go for it each Lent. When the people see someone who has a reputation for greater holiness than they, really taking Lent seriously, then it's just like, why are you doing that? Why aren't you eating that all Lent? What are these practices? You're getting up in the middle of the night and coming to adore Jesus. Why would you be doing that? It's so much more convenient at other times. And we've got a wide opening in order to be able to introduce them to the mystery of the type of reparation we have. But at the same time, Jesus wants to make us other Jonahs. Jesus wants to make us other Jesuses. And if Jesus came as a sign of Jonah calling us to conversion, then we need to be that sign of conversion in the midst of our family and friends. Now, it's not that we have to immediately go with a message that scares. 40 more days and Fall River will be annihilated. God hasn't sent us out with that message. But we are supposed to go and preach conversion by the conversion of our lives. And what's the real meaning in conversion? The real meaning of conversion is we're not turning with the Lord. Convertere means to turn with the Lord. That we're not really doing the Lord's will. That we're not really who we are. That we're who we're supposed to be. We're thinking like everybody else thinks. We're choosing like everybody else chooses. And the Lord wants us to convert and recognize that He is our way. He is our path. We really do want to be like Him and act like Him, and recognize that He calls us to this. And if He calls us to this, He's going to give us all the help He knows we need to be able to do it. But that's the type of conversion. God's been speaking to us about that conversion. That we try to set free those unjustly bound. That we try to care for those who are hungry, and we literally share with them. We'll care for them when they're naked. We'll care for them when they're sick. We'll care for them when they don't have anything to drink. We'll go outside of ourselves. That's the type of conversion that the Lord wants. Outside for us as Americans of our narrow, rugged individualism, so that we recognize that God has sent us on out as converted people, showing everybody else the beauty of a true Christian life. No sign will be given this evil generation except the sign of Jonah. Every generation is, in a sense, evil. Not ontologically evil, not at its root, but morally evil. We've all got sin in every generation. And we shouldn't say, well, because it's 60% good and 40% bad, there's no evil. We're basically good. No, there's 40% evil there. And it's unfit for the Lord. Every generation is an evil generation in this moral sense. And Jesus, for each generation, gives the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? That just as Jonah was tossed in to the sea and calmed the storms, so Jesus is tossed overboard to calm the tempest of sin. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, so Jesus would spend 3 days in the belly of the earth. That is the sign of Jonah, together with the conversion Jesus preaches. That the real sign of our conversion is we did that. It wasn't just the Jews who did that, Jewish Sanhedrin leaders. It wasn't just the Romans and Pontius Pilate who did that. We did. That's the sign of what our sins can do. That many times in our life we have chosen Barabbas in a disguise over Christ. And when we see Him lifted up like the serpent in the desert, which we'll get later on in Lent, we're able to see what is killing us. It's precisely what killed Him, our sins. And that's the means by which, seeing that sign, we're exposed. When we see the sign of Jesus crucified, do we just pass by like so many passers-by walked by the cross on Good Friday? Or do we see it and say, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I'm so very sorry, Lord." That's what Lent is about. We know the great news that a humbled, contrite heart the Lord will never spurn. We're asking Him for that contrite and humbled heart. We're asking Him in this sign of Jonah, the fruit of His spending 3 days in the belly of the earth. And He now wants to come into our own bellies with His risen life. This is what's going to give us the strength for conversion. But we have to grasp how desperately we need to convert and become signs of Jonah for our culture that needs to convert just as much. Otherwise, the only thing that's really changing in Lent is the color of our liturgical vestment.